Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, the Midday 180 rolls on as we talk Titans with number 26, Logan Ryan.
Sack! Oh, that's Logan Ryan!
Pass is intercepted.
Picked off, Logan Ryan!
From 104.5 The Zone.
The Titans fans gonna learn some football today. I'm gonna teach you some ball today.
This is the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue.
Win or lose, we're always excited about Logan Ryan joining the show every Tuesday at noon right here on the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. The Logan Ryan Show is presented by Edley's Barbecue. Meat smoked low and slow, made from scratch side dishes. Visit an Edley's location in Sylvan Park, East Nashville, 12 South. Now serving brisket all day at Edley's Barbecue. Catering for tailgate parties available. You can learn more at edleysbbq.com. Follow Logan on Twitter, at Real Logan Ryan. And number 26 joins us right now by phone. Logan, how are you, man?
What's going on, man? Doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Yeah, same.
We are well. Good afternoon, fine, sir. So I was driving in thinking about this, and here's where I am. I think you're an excellent leader, and many of your compatriots in the defensive backfield are. But I think you guys have reached a point where you've done all you can the way you're doing it, and it's time to change the way you're doing it. You've got to extend your reach. I don't know if you sit down with offensive linemen or if you cross the aisle to the offense. I know you don't want to cause a rift, but there's insufficient leadership in that locker room beyond you guys. And so maybe it's not your job to go to the places I'm asking you to go, but there's nobody else doing it. So my question is, will you go further than you've gone before? Because there's nobody else doing it. This seesaw that Delanie Walker's talking about, this up and down that we're talking about constantly, this team is beyond time to have graduated past that. What can you and the defensive backfield do to extend your reach and take your mentality team-wide? Because it's not reaching other parts of the team that aren't performing.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, how do you know? How do you know how far my leadership extends? Because I don't say in the media. I don't call guys out in the media. I don't, you know, do something on Twitter. That decides what type of leader I am. So what you don't know is that I'm very close friends with a lot of guys on both sides of the ball. Me and Marcus are very close. Me and Marcus talk regularly. Me and Marcus have gone to dinner throughout the seasons, our wives. His girlfriend, my wife, have gone out, very close friends of ours. The receiving group, obviously practicing against them every single day, challenging Humphreys, challenging Corey Davis, talking them up, all that. So, I mean, just because I don't say something in the media or because the play is up and down doesn't mean that the leadership isn't there or the leadership isn't known. I think there's one thing to say things in the media to get the attention, but there's other things on how you lead is building relationships with people. And if you ask anybody on the offensive side of the ball, what's your relationship like with Logan or along the locker room, it's a very tight locker room, very tight locker room. So but on both sides of the ball.
But is it working? It's working in the defensive backfield. You're getting results. I'm happy to hear all that stuff, and I suspected some of it. But that leadership isn't translating into those guys working like you guys work. I don't see, and you didn't mention the offensive line there, I noticed. But those groups aren't working like your group works. It's not translating. There's something missing that you guys don't see Buffalo coming and that the offense can't find more than 7 points against Buffalo 2 weeks after it couldn't find more than seven points against Jacksonville.
Right, but you don't know. I didn't mention offensive line, but I was at Ben Jones' charity event, close friend of mine, Quentin Spain's wedding, who's no longer with the team, with the entire offensive line. you know, go to Dennis Kelly and my daughter go to the same preschool. We drop off and pick up together and talk about ball. Talk about our daughters going to preschool together. Again, things I'm not going to talk about in the media, don't need to. It's a production business. We get judged one time a week. My relationship with Marcus and Dennis and Taylor and Ben, it can only go so far with the production on the field. That's a team thing. And if I give up a touchdown over my head, is it because Marcus didn't go out to dinner with me that week? Of course not. I support them. Being a leader is supporting people through the highs and the lows. Being a leader is challenging people through the highs and the lows. And I challenge them every single week in practice. If anybody came to training camp and saw how I practiced and saw how I went to battle with Humphreys, saw I went to battle with Marcus, saw me and Deion taking every open field tackling drill against each other because we've known each other since high school. So me and Derrick Henry flying home from Mexico from Quentin Spain's wedding and spending 6 hours on a flight or 4 hours on a flight together from Mexico and going back and forth playing pickup basketball with the receivers, Tajay Sharp, one of the best basketball players outside on the team. So it's like, you know, those things don't need to be talked about. They only get come up during losses. But we're going to stick together. We lost a game by one score. Okay, there's going to be plenty of games in this season that are going to be decided by one score. We missed some field goals, of course. We had a couple of touchdowns called back by a penalty or sort, you know, had to score and had it taken away from us. We had a questionable rough in the passer that gave him the ball back or let him extend the drive or whatever in 4 minutes when we could have got the ball back for offense. Everyone could have did better, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to prepare any different from Denver than I did for Atlanta or I did for Buffalo. And the offense that prepared how they did for Atlanta prepared the same way for Buffalo. Buffalo has a great defense. We knew it was a defensive game. Last year was a defensive game. Of course the offense wants to play better. Of course they need to. But that's the strength of Buffalo, and that's the strength of our team. And it was an ugly game, and they beat us by one score. Hats off to them. But I can't change the way I operate. I'm not going to change the way being a leader or start calling people out publicly because that's not how you lead, not through the media. And, Paul, I appreciate you. I appreciate your opinions. You have harsh opinions, and that's what you get paid to do. But leadership isn't defined on wins and losses all the time. It's not. Leadership is defined by people having each other's back during the tough times. That shows your true character.
Well, I think you're answering spectacularly well, but leadership at some point is defined on an ability for a team to solve a longstanding problem. And Roger Saffold, who's not done a very good job being a leader, comes in and says, oh, yeah, these inconsistencies are a longstanding problem. He's almost making fun of you guys. Hey, look, I come into a team that can't get this stuff sorted out. And this team, Logan, you know it, I know it, the American people know it, can't get this stuff sorted out. If you play well last week, odds are you're going to play poorly this week. I'm not putting it on you. I think you're one of the guys who solves the problem, but something's missing on the rest of your guys. So all I'm asking is when you have dinner with Kelly, when you have dinner with Mariota, when you have dinner with whoever, tell them to get it damn going because the whole city is sick of it.
I'll be sure to do that, and and we'll do that. We're gonna keep rolling with it, man. We're gonna keep rolling with it. We're gonna want obviously better results.
Don't keep rolling with it. Start rolling with something new.
Better results. But at the end of the day, listen, man. I play for these guys in the locker room. I play from the locker room. My Patriot teammates that I won Super Bowls with are my best friends in life. My DB group, these guys on this team, Deion Lewis, some of these guys are my best friends for life, and that's for the good performances and the bad ones. And when I'm hopefully a Titan for a long time or no longer a Titan one day, hopefully people can say that Logan was a stand-up guy who always had my back. Of course I'm going to challenge you. Of course I'm competitive. Of course I want to be the best player on the field every single day. Of course in practice I want to make the offense look horrible. But I support their back to the end. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many points they score. At the end of the day, I control my side of the ball. And when we lose, I take blame in that. When we lose, I feel bad. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming Cairo Santos. He's a hell of a kicker. He had a bad day. And I would never want to be a kicker because if I have a bad day, I hope I don't get cut. He had an awful day, for sure. But he lost his job, and that's terrible. And that's a tough position. It comes with the salary. But I like Cairo. Cairo has a huge leg. He had a bad day, and we lost the game. And it's not just Cairo's fault. And Malcolm Butler feels bad, and Adoree Jackson feels bad, and I feel bad. And we all feel like we could have did more because we want to win. We do, but we're working at it. And I'm not going to kill myself because I lost the game 14-7 in week 5 to Buffalo. And we're 2-3 when a division leader is 3-2. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to sit there and start doing things in the media because we're 2-3 and Houston is 3-2 in our division. We're 2 games out of our division, and it's only week 5. I've been in too many big games, Super Bowls, and been playing football for 20 years of my life and professionally for 7 years to sit here and get fired up in week 5 of the season. Of course, I want to win next week. And it's a must-win in my mind. Like every other game, and Buffalo was a must-win. But we didn't win. And I gave it my all, and we gave it our all, and we came up short. What am I going to do about it? Start calling people out? Start telling people to play better? They know what they need to do. We're going to go over to it. We're going to change some things up, make some player changes, whatever we have to do, whatever the coaches feel it's best. And I'm going to play corner the best way I can. And I'm going to lead the guys the best way I can through wins and losses. And then we're going to take it from there. But I know we got a bunch of guys that are fighters. I know we got leaders like me to lock them there and keep leading and keep challenging. I got to go up to Denver and cover Emmanuel Sanders, just like I had to cover someone every single week. And, you know, that's what I've been doing my whole career. And I think I've been a stand-up guy. I think I've been a good leader in my career, a good productive player. And it'll be a reason why we start winning some games.
Questions and answers like that is why we love that's the Logan Ryan Show here on the Midday 180. And why we love having Logan on each week. We have
now, if we
a
could
couple
just
more
get one of you at every position on the team.
we have more with Logan coming up where we'll get into that matchup against Emmanuel Sanders. Logan's faced the Broncos a few times, including some games in Denver. We'll
ask him about altitude.
We're going to ask him about the altitude and much more. And he's one of the best when it comes to film study each week. And we talk with Coach Mac. We hear from scouts as well that will evaluate film. We'll get his perspective from the player's side of things on how they evaluate one play and how they can pick up on things from one play after rewatching some things throughout the week. We'll get Logan's take coming up. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
Titans blitzing. Allen in trouble. Allen is sacked! Ryan first and then Joe. Bills 1-5 on third down. 3 receivers to the left. Titans jumping about. High snap. Allen has it. Under pressure. Hit as he throws and the ball is incomplete. Intended for Knox, broken up by Jackson.
Let's give a big nod to Jackson and also to Logan Ryan. That was a great blitz off the edge by Logan Ryan. He hit him legally, he hit him legitimately, and he hit him hard.
Yes, he did. He lit him up on that particular blitz that Coach Mac's pointing out there on Titans Radio. It's the Logan Ryan Show here on the Midday 180. We're served up by Wendy's. He's presented by Edley's Barbecue, catering for tailgate parties and for any party. Event space at the East Nashville location can be rented out. Pickup and delivery orders for catering are through edleysbbq.com. Logan, that was a great sack that you had. You're providing more pressure off the edge, and you added, I believe, 9 tackles in this game. You donated $126 for each tackle through your Defending Animals campaign at pledgeit.org. You're up to, I believe, 27 on the season, which is $3,400. For the charity.
There you go. Yep. It's a good way to provide. You know, people can get on board. Pledgeit.org/LoganRyan2019 and dollar amount per tackle. And I'm putting my money where my mouth is, $126 per tackle. And, you know, got a bunch. So it's good. And keep doing that. Keep playing hard. And it's all going to animals and going 100% to a good cause, a great cause, I believe. And, my wife and I know where the dollar goes to. She budgets every penny, trust me. So it's all going to a good place.
Hey, real quick on the dog stuff. The guy who bred the Labradoodle said it was the worst decision he ever made. And it led to a lot of conversations about more pushes for dogs to be adopted from the pound and not all this crazy crossbreeding and fancy stuff that comes out. And whenever I hear something like that, something big in the dog community, I think of what does Logan think? I was wondering if you heard about that and what your reaction was to it.
I haven't heard about it. You sent me texts before of dog stories and stuff like that. he's being true. He sent me texts late at night of a dog story he came across.
I'll send you this one. We'll cover it next week.
All right. Here
you're
we go.
Getting
yeah,
it.
Let me like, read up on it.
It's like one.
Up on it. Look, I'm not a big fan of breeding at all. I mean, there's too many animals in shelters. Too many animals. Shelters are overcapacitated sometimes. And dogs have to be terminated because of space. Too many people that get pets and surrender them because it's not to their convenience anymore or whatever it might be. Obviously, you know, so there's no reason to. And almost every animal, every breed, every dog I take a picture of is an adoptable dog, and they're beautiful dogs, and almost every breed I've seen. So I don't really see the reason to anymore in this day and age. And a lot of breeding, much like a lot of production of anything, it gets cheaper, cut corners. A lot of times they do incest and breed on the same litter, and then you have dogs that have a lot of issues when you get them, live very short years, have crazy diseases, crazy medical cases that you end up don't want to pay for, and you end up in a shelter anyway. So I feel like shelter 100% is the only way to go.
And our listeners can help the cause through the Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation. RyanAnimalFoundation.org is the website. It promotes the adoption of animals, and their grants provide crucial funding to shelters across the country and in our own backyard. Again, the website, RyanAnimalFoundation.org.
Logan, back to this idea of leadership, and you were going through guys that you're personal friends with, that you hang out with both at the facility and away from the facility. My question is this: how difficult is it to know what's going on in those meeting rooms when you're not there in terms of who the leader is, how it's conducted, how everything goes on? I'm sure that you talk to a lot of guys in the team and you get a sense for that, but is it difficult to truly know what's going on with other position groups?
It is honestly more than people may know. I spend majority of the day on the defensive side of the ball, defensive meetings. We meet as a defensive group, we as a team very briefly. Rabel talks to the team, and then we break off into Dean Pease's meetings, and he gives us the game plan for the week, new defense, new blitz. Logan, I want you to do this. Study them, studying their receivers. Then we break off into Kerry Coombs's room, and we get into very particular what the cornerbacks need to do and the safeties need to do and what the nickel needs to do and on this blitz and this. And then we practice. And in the practice, for the most part, we're servicing each other. We're our scouts. That's when our practice squad players come and give us a look, and I'm preparing for Julio Jones. And then I go after practice, we break up back into defense, and I watch the film of how practice went and kind of get an install what the next day is going to be. And even during the game, when I come off the field, I drink Gatorade, and I get on the iPad, or the Surface, sorry. And
very careful.
Right, exactly. And I'm biased. I'm unbiased to either, so whatever I want to. But I get on the Surface, and I'm watching the last series. I don't even see what happens until I hear a cheer or ooh and a ah. So I really came and talk about the offense until I watch the film. I can't blame Marcus until I watch the whole play. I can't blame a receiver. A lot of times it's timing. It's a well-oiled machine. And trust me, it's really hard to be a dominant corner with a bad pass rush. It's really hard to be a great pass rusher without good corners. It's really hard to, you know, it's really hard to be a great corner without good linebackers, because if you can't stop the run, they're going to run the ball on you 40 times. And then they're going to lull you to sleep and throw one over your head. And you might have one opportunity all day, and the media says, oh, you're horrible, you get burnt, you're burnt toast. But they've been running the ball for 300 yards on the defense, and you're kind of getting lulled to sleep, and then they throw one over your head. So football is the ultimate team sport. And that's why it's so hard, because it's a production business. Obviously, you want to improve. But you got to bring in people that are good teammates that care about one another. Because, like I tell you every time, the reason why I got my sack is because Kenny Vaccaro or Jayon Brown showed a pressure on the other side, Jayon Brown on my sack. And the offensive line didn't pick me up at all. I was unblocked. A lot of people can get that sack in this business. But Jayon Brown has to set me up to do that. So my credit has to go to Jayon Brown. I can't say our linebackers are terrible and our DBs are great when Jayon Brown set me up to make my plays. So it's a complete team deal. And the offense or whatever has to play better as a unit. And that's where leadership comes in and has to get people to play inspired football as a unit. But at the same time, we spend so much time apart in our position groups and different sides of the ball that it's hard just to walk into that side and say, you need to do this, we need to do that. Because I don't know. I'm not an offensive lineman. I was a high school quarterback. And trust me, if I was going to be an NFL quarterback, I would, because I want the ball in my hands every play. But I'm a corner. I had a switch. I got to college. They're like, yeah, you're going to play corner. Okay. So I went and played corner and made the most of it. So, you know, it's the ultimate team sport. And that's why you got to fall on the sword together as a team. I truly believe that, because I wouldn't be a Super Bowl champion if Tom Brady didn't bring us back from 28-3. But Tom Brady wouldn't be a champion if we didn't get all the stops needed to get him the ball back that many times. Because if they run the ball on us in the second half, or if Julio Jones would have caught a touchdown on me, that 28-3 would have been over with. There would have been no comeback. There would have been no Super Bowl MVP. So it all works hand in hand.
Logan Ryan with us for the Logan Ryan Show presented by Edley's Barbecue. I want to switch gears and ask you about film study for a moment, because I know you do a lot of this during the week. When a scout or a coach watches film, I know they tend to re-watch the same play over and over, and then they'll evaluate different parts of the offense or defense each time. Can you do the same thing for a play or a route or a formation when you watch the same play and the player you're going up against?
Right. So to answer it the best I can, a day like today, we start the next week on Wednesday every week. So we play on Sunday, and Monday is kind of like you get in there, you run a little bit, you lift a little bit, you flush out all that soreness. It feels like you're in a train wreck. I figure out, oh, this hurts, that hurts. Well, what play did you hurt that? I don't remember. When did you hurt this? Oh, I don't even remember, because I don't know. It's all a blur out there. I just run around and hit things and dive and get crazy. So I figure out where my body's at, and I try to get that back in order. And today, a day like today, I'll end up, I go on a date with my wife on Monday night. That's our night that we have. And then a day like today, before my radio show, I will have watched, well, by the end of today, I'll watch four games, the Denver Broncos' last four games, just in general, all their offensive plays, just watching the concept. Okay, what do? They run the ball, then they pass, and they run, and they pass, or, you know, do they run it twice and pass it, or whatever, who are they throwing to? And then I'll watch. The beauty of it nowadays is that it's on our iPad. I can take it home, and it'll give me cut-ups of Emmanuel Sanders and Sutton or whatever his name is, and I'll get to see all their targets of every time they threw the ball at them, and I have that in order. So I'll watch all Emmanuel Sanders and all the receivers in one day, and I'm able to see how Emmanuel Sanders is getting the ball. Where is he getting the ball at? Is he on the left? Is he on the right? Does he have this foot up, that foot up? And as I get to the game time, for instance, last week, I watched every target that Cole Beasley had three times over, every position where he caught the ball, meaning where he was lined up in the slot, outside, who was next to him, this, and that. And I pretty much have certain tendencies in my head to it's a point where I get it, so I'm almost playing poker out there. And I know, okay, if he's lined up at the two spot on the left side of the field and three by one, he runs these four routes. And two of them break off at 5 yards. If it's not breaking off at 5 yards, one breaks at 10. If it's not at 10, then it's a deep ball. And in my mind, I'm playing that based on the situation, where he's lined up, the formation. And that's how I make my plays, pretty much just playing the odds of what he's going to run based on where he is.
It's the Pick Six with Logan Ryan.
Intercepted, and there he goes. Logan Ryan going to take this one for a touchdown. Picked off, taking it all the way back for the touchdown is Logan Ryan.
It's time for Pick Six with Logan Ryan, number 26, the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue here on the Midday 180. Edley'sBBQ.com. Where you can see the brunch hours Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. each weekend at Edley's. All right, David Reed, Logan's ready.
All right, here we are. It's October. It's the scariest time of the year. What's the scariest dream that you've ever had, Logan?
Oh, scariest dream. I would say after I saw The Ring when I was in middle school, whatever old I was, I saw that Ring movie. I kept having dreams of the white noise TV and the girl coming out of the screen and waking me up. That's for sure. But also something pretty weird. Before the Chowdown event that I threw, my wife and I planned the whole thing and didn't have a planner and did it all. And logistically, it was great, but it was a lot of moving parts. I guess I was so uneasy sleeping the night before. I was so nervous about doing the auctioning part, I think. I didn't hire an auctioneer. And I didn't think I was going to sell anything on stage.
After I did it, you should have.
Right. And I ended up waking up and feeling like I had something stuck in my throat. And I woke up, like, coughing for, like, an hour, kept asking Ashley to look if I have anything lodged in my throat, like, what is wrong? And I Googled it, and it said, you know, you have a lot of, you know, anxious to public speak or whatever it means. So that was a kind of a weird feeling day of the Chowdown.
When you first said, when I first saw The Ring, I thought you were going to talk about losing your Super Bowl ring. I thought that's the path you were heading down.
Yeah, that's something too. But yeah,
I always had the dream about enrolling in the class in college, forgetting that I had enrolled in the class until like the last day when finals were due or something.
Everybody has that one.
And then realizing that I had missed the class all semester.
You have to leave college
right.
because you did that?
Yep.
Speaking of seeing the ring back when you were in middle school, and I was in college when I saw that, by the way, name one song that immediately takes you back to your childhood.
Who Let the Dogs Out? I remember that song, Who Let the Dogs Out. Yep, that just brings me back.
That was the beginning of his dog involvement.
Also, saw them in college. The bottom. Wow. And here's something kind of relates. What do you do when you can't fall asleep?
Oh, I'm exhausted. That's not really an issue. But with having two kids under 3 years old or 4 years old, I pass out pretty quick. But I just watch Netflix. Watching Last Chance U. That's a crazy show. That Duco world's not pretty. So I'm into that right now. So I'm just watching Netflix while I pass out.
What's the strangest habit that you have?
The strangest habit?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know if you consider it. I don't think I have a lot of strange habits.
That's for us to determine.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been doing 100 push-ups before bed since high school. So I don't know if that's dedication or just, I don't know, the number I picked since I was 14 years old. I've been doing that pretty consistently for 14 years. So that's not really that strange.
Paul does that too.
Yeah, no wonder you sleep so well.
Yeah, that's good.
What's a fashion trend that you wish would make a comeback or one that's a current trend that shouldn't be at all?
You know, a lot of the fashion that I like, the 90s and 80s fashion, is all coming back. And I love it. I love the tie-dye and the acid wash and all that stuff. So the more tie-dye stuff that comes back, the more I'm going to wear it. I like all that acid wash. I don't know if I want the 4X baggy t-shirt that they used to wear. But I like all the colors and all the acid wash jeans and stuff like that. I think that's coming back, and I'm all about it.
That's Pick 6 with Logan Ryan, learning off-the-field answers about number 26. On the field this week at Denver and in the altitude, tell us what it's like as a player to play there.
Yeah, the altitude. It's so talked about. It's a thing. It is real. The ball kind of flies out there. The ball carries. But I played out there a couple times in my career. Anytime you play football, that first kickoff, that adrenaline in a stadium, that first series, you kind of lose your breath a little bit. And I feel like in Denver, you lose your breath, and it's hard to get that second wind. But once you do, you're good. So I think the first series or so, usually, it's just hard to catch your breath when you're out there. You're kind of huffing and puffing a little bit. I know Denver always used to come out when they had Peyton Manning, they always used to come out no huddle the first series. To get guys tired faster and just come out on the ball, on the ball, on the ball, and you're just like gasping for air. Your lips are dry, but you get back. They got oxygen on the sideline now, so you just go take the oxygen mask and get that oxygen back, and you're pretty much after that. It's no different at all.
Is there anything you can do to prepare for it, or is it just you have to acclimate?
I think you have to acclimate. I honestly don't think it's a huge deal. Like I said, I just think you get winded. For me, at least, I'm going to get winded pretty earlier than I normally would, and I get my second wind and kind of get after that first series, I'm good. It could be different from other guys. I just remember playing Peyton Manning my rookie year in an AFC championship. He's out there in no huddle, and I'm holding on for my dear life. So, someone told me about that oxygen mask, and I've been good ever since. So, I don't know. They have those altitude masks. I think they're all for show. You need oxygen when you train. I don't think an altitude mask, putting a mask on, that's more for Instagram. But I don't know what you really do. It's not a huge deal. Come out and knock out that. Go 3-and-out, and you'll be fine.
How many times have you faced Flacco?
Whoa. A bunch. I have a lot of picks off Flacco in my career. I would probably say, I mean, we played him when he came up here. You know, KB got him twice when he was on Baltimore in Tennessee. And then I played him in Baltimore when I was in New England almost every year, I feel like. So probably 4 or 5 times.
And I'm guessing you're going to have some chances at some more sacks, too. People think interception, but he stands in the pocket, which is a great thing for some blitzing DBs like yourself.
Yeah, you love him, man. There's so many mobile quarterbacks, and it's great because these guys are getting a chance nowadays. Back in the day, they weren't even called quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson wouldn't even be called a quarterback. Or Deshaun Watson or whatever. But these guys, that we play, man. Jacoby Brissett, so does Mark Mobile. Gardner Minshew's mobile. Baker Mayfield's pretty mobile. So to get a guy like Matt Ryan or, Josh Allen's pretty mobile, to stand there, those are the guys you really, really want to get after. But they use their tools to their advantage. They're big guys, tall guys. They're able to identify defense, get the ball out quick. So we got to make it hard on them, disguise it. But, I mean, if we can get there, he's a standing tree. But he also knows that, and he tries to get the ball away before you get him.
Did you know you were going to catch McKenzie on the end around when he took off in the fourth quarter? Or did you have to figure out the angle first?
So I was he was out. I mean, he was gone. He's fast.
Yeah.
And I'm showing great effort and running my running. You know, you never know what happens. I'm running my balls off, and Kenny Vaccaro actually like pointed during the play, like I'm gonna make him cut back. So it was kind of Kenny kind of took a bad angle to make him cut back, and he kind of cut back into me and gave me a shot. So it was crazy, crazy ball to see it. And Kenny's like, "Did you see me point at you?" I was like, "I kind of felt that," and it kind of made me realize that Kenny was going to make this guy cut back, and I was going to be the one to tackle him. So if you watch that play on film, you'll see that Kenny did that. It's really heads up, and it just shows you when you play football with guys, you know, it's 11 guys defending the field, which is a lot of space, but we're big and we're fast. And the more you play with people like that, the more you get used to things like that happening. And I could have made that play without Kenny, because if I just would have kept running and he would outran Kenny's angle, nobody was going to catch him. But Kenny cut him off, and it ended up coming back to me. So Kenny gave me a chance to make it. But just little subtle things like that, just playing with guys. And maybe last year I wouldn't have got that hint from Kenny, or Kenny wouldn't have known that I was running that hard. Kenny knew I'd be there, and Kenny kind of trusted me to be there.
And the play right before that end around, I believe, was the unnecessary roughness on Casey. That is a great example of two players doing everything they can to be within the rules of the game today and still being penalized. I don't know what else Jarrell can do other than try to leap over the QB. And I don't know how you managed not to touch the QB, but you didn't. It was good effort that was still penalized, unfortunately.
Yeah. It is just football nowadays, man. You can't talk to one player that loves officiating right now. I don't know what the game's trying to be, but the quarterback has all the rules. I tried everything I could, almost damaging myself to not make contact.
Yeah,
he slid, I slid. Then I leaned back. Then I put my hands out just to not even, like, I didn't even want my fingernail to touch him. And Jarrell's running hard. And Jarrell Casey is one of the hardest working D linemen in football. He's made a career on effort. And he's chasing the quarterback who slid slides last minute. And he tries to leap over him, because if he's running, he's going to knee him in the head. So he tries to get out the way. He just brushes him, and it's a penalty. And, you know, Jarrell's like 300 pounds with ankles smaller than me. He can't jump that high. So he's trying his best, and it's just it's inevitability. I'm telling you, if quarterbacks just run and slide late, they'll get penalties. If people just run and flop around, they'll get penalties nowadays. It's almost like you're encouraging players to flop or just draw penalties because they're easy to draw.
Yes, I agree. And the officials are getting ripped behind the scenes if they don't throw that flag, unfortunately.
And officials are getting played by players at times, too.
Yeah.
Because they're flopping and what they're doing.
I mean, there was contact, but again, that is a great example of a player, two players, doing everything they can to play within the rules of today and still, unfortunately, drawing the flag anyway. So.
Well, how do you be a hard-playing defensive player and not get penalized? That's why when I get pass interference, I don't even care. Not that I don't care, but
I know what you mean.
How I play. Because I have to play hard. And when I grew up watching these cornerbacks and Mel Blount and Brian Dawkins play, you think Brian Dawkins would be able to Brian Dawkins would be kicked out of the league nowadays? Like, these guys that you grow up loving and watching the game and made you fall in love with defensive football, the aggressiveness, the tenacity, that relentless effort and pursuit, most of them would be penalties. And you would be paying $30,000 back a game for fines. So it's just a different game, and I think I'm heady enough to adjust, and I am adjusting. Like, I slid out of the way of the quarterback, and every time he slid, I just stood there, let him slide into my ankles. I didn't want to touch him. But it's just where they're going with it, and I think it makes it hard to be a really good defensive player consistently without being a highly penalized defensive player.
Logan, another great show this week. After the week 5, and hopefully next week you're following up a win in Denver.
Yeah, like Paul said, the trend says we're going to win this one, so we're going to go out there and just ride that. We're going to do everything we can, man. It's going to be a hard week of practice. Tom Brady said something before, and my wife knows it, and we talk about it. When you lose in this business, the next week your quality of life just goes down, and it just sucks. Practice is going to suck. Doing the show is harder. Having to talk to Paul is harder. Having to talk to the media is harder. But I'm going to do everything I can to keep pushing the guys, keep pushing the team. And we're going to go out there and we're give it all I got. And sometimes you give all your guys not good enough, but you got to pick it up and give all you got again. And one day it will be, and actually become a winner. So we're going to continue to do that. And I'm tired of having weeks like this. I don't like it at all. It affects me more than you probably would know. But I got a great family, beautiful kids. You see my daughter on the scoreboard?
There are people talking to us about that.
I did not see that.
When they sent me the video, I posted on my Instagram. My wife surprised me, canceled, whatever they did a feature, and my daughter got to talk about daddy, and she loves me, and she's just so dang cute.
That's awesome.
You know, that puts it all in perspective, honestly.
That's terrific. Hey, the trends say you're going to win. Denver sucking also says you're going to win.
Yep, that helps. But, you know, Philip Lindsay runs hard. I got a lot of respect for him, and Emmanuel Sanders plays hard, too. So it's not going to be easy. In this league, it's not. If a team doesn't have a good offense, they normally have a good defense. They normally have a good defense. They normally have a good offense, like Atlanta or something. So there's something they're going to do is going to be pretty good. So we got to contend with that, and we got to go out there and win them. Nobody's handing the Titans anything this year, obviously.
Hey, man, talk to you next week.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, man. See you guys.
All right, Logan Ryan, the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue, online, edleysbbq.com.